Luke Morrow, Chris Partee, Colin Neal, they are in for Reggie, John, and Figgy. They are in the loop. They start now.
Appreciate you guys.
Thanks,
working
fellas.
Overtime on Labor Day as well. We're here laboring for you as well on Labor Day, but happy to do it in something that never feels like work. And Chris, we got it's game week. We have NFL football later on this week.
How long have we been waiting for this? What is it, 6 months?
I know it.
God, it always seems like it's never going to get here. And now it's here, and people are excited.
Absolutely.
People are excited about this Texans team.
It's hard to believe, too, that the summer seemed to go by so quick. And I'm one of those that people always say, like, I can't wait for football season. And I always push back, in a very lame fashion of, like, the years already go by so fast. Let's not try to fast forward.
They do.
But now, like, it's crazy that it's September 1st today. NFL is back. It feels like just yesterday, you know, we were watching the Super Bowl. And here we go with the Texans and Rams week one coming up later on this week.
Yeah. I mean, and like you said, summers do go by very fast. And as an adult, summers go by even faster. You don't get the 2 to 3 months off like you did
as
a kid. Like, so, of course, it's not even – you may take a vacation or something, but it's not really even a full summer anymore. So to just skip ahead. But, you know, we love football in this country. That's what we love.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are.
Yeah.
It's time. It's go time, as they would say.
Had a great college football weekend. We got the NFL this week. You can always join the conversation as we're with you for the next 4 hours here filling in for the fellas. 713-572-4610 to text the show. You can always get to us on the YouTube and Twitch chats as well as we gear up. We'll get to the Astros and their weekend that was in about 12, 15 minutes. But because it is game week here and because, you know, it's now officially September and we get ready for the NFL to kick off in just a couple of days, let's talk about the Texans. By the way, last thing, too, on the whole feeling like football summer's over. It was one of those weekends because I think college football was on that my brain just like reprogrammed where I wore pants yesterday for the first time in like 6 months because I felt like this just feels like the fall now. And then even when I was having my brunch yesterday, I was like, you know, this feels like I should be sitting down to watch the NFL in about an hour. You get that feeling now as the calendar turns to September. Eventually, the weather will start to change a little bit here, and you get that football feeling of
so
it's good to be back with your weekend routine.
So no pants for 6 months, huh? I know
long
I,
pants.
Okay.
Yeah, but yes.
I know I've seen you within the last 6 months at least once or twice.
Did I not specify?
You had trousers on. You had something on.
Yeah.
Okay, so all right. I just want to make that clear.
No, I mean, around the house, probably not a lot of pants on in the last 6 months. Save on the AC, bump it up and walk around in my boxers. But but now, you know, it's football season. So let's get into it.
It is.
With the Texans. And later on, we'll look at the specific matchup with the Rams. And I know, obviously, Reggie and John and everyone else here in the air will have all week to break down that game as we get closer to Sunday. But we'll still look ahead in a little bit. However, for the Texans in general, let's start with a broad conversation because now that we are here at game week and we're looking ahead to starting the season and expectations are high, you know, what do you think will be that thing that could derail the Texans season? What would be that worst case scenario for the Texans as we get ready to kickstart the season? Like, what are you still most concerned about?
I think the fact that we don't really know what this offense is going to look like under Nick Caley. I mean, you know, obviously preseason, they're not going to show you everything. They're not going to show other teams. They don't want on film, you know, coming into week one, what exactly they're going to do. So we didn't see much in the preseason. Yeah, we saw some guys get out there. And, you know, what's the deal with Joe Mixon now?
Yeah.
Right?
That's
so that's another one. So there are questions. As we already knew, there are questions around this offense. First, we thought it was just the offensive line, but now it's kind of okay. The running game, what's that going to look like, and just the overall offense in general. We don't know exactly what to expect from a new offensive coordinator. So there's a lot of questions. I think the defense. Everyone believes in the defense that this can be, you know, definitely. I think this should be a top 10 defense, if not a top 5 defense. I think a shot at top 5. I really do. But the offense is where the questions lie.
For sure. All the questions. I mean,
it seems like it.
Yeah. We nitpicked the defense because, I mean, that's just what you have so much time to talk everything out on these airwaves. And because still you always want to be better in every area. So we can at times nitpick the defense and talk about the depth in the secondary and, you know, the interior defensive line. But the floor for the defense is still so high, to your point. Like, even if it's a bad year for the defense, if it's not quite as good as we're expecting for this defense, they still should be, like, back end of the top 10. There's no...
At the least. I mean, that's the expectation.
Right? I can't see a possibility where things go so off the rails that we're talking about the Texans being ranked 20th in defense this year. Well, so,
no, here's the thing. If the offense... I mean, we all know this. A defense will only hold up so long week after week. If the offense cannot consistently sustain drives and keep the other team's defense on the field, the more your defense is on the field, eventually it catches up to you. And no matter how talented or how good or how stout your defense is, you will give up points at some point.
Yeah.
The offense has to be able to sustain drives. They have to.
For me, what would derail the season, it's the same conversation we had last year and we're having at times the year prior, but it's still the offensive line. I don't know. I mean, I know we feel better maybe about the offensive line now than we did even just a couple months ago based off of the preseason, the summer. Well, I think expectations are now, I think you feel a little more comfortable, but still it's like almost like, you know, I got a kick out of everyone taking a victory lap or having such a great time after the first preseason game for the offensive line, because it did look a lot better, but still it's almost like, you know, your F student comes in celebrating that he got a C, and like, yeah, it's great. That's improvement. You did do better on that test this time around than previously, but it's still not good enough. And we still shouldn't be too excited about a C. That's still not going to get you where you want to be. And so that's still my concern with the offensive line. You're going to have four new starters on the O-line. You're going to have a rookie most likely starting at left tackle who, you know, I think can be really good, but still it's just an unproven commodity.
Ariante Ursary.
It's just still a
question
mark.
Everyone's excited about him.
Yeah, and he's shown well, but still I always take the preseason and the summer with a big grain of salt, right? So week one, especially against the Rams on Sunday with some of their pass rushers, is a big test. And if you can't hold up on the offensive line, you can't do much offensively, which we've seen in the past. You can coach around some of that stuff, so Nick Caley can try to, try to put some makeup on some of the issues offensively. But I still think it all starts in the interior. And so as unique as the offense might be and as good as the rookie playmakers might be, and including Woody Marks and, you know, maybe Nick Chubb, if you're not blocking, if the offensive line isn't holding up front, then it doesn't matter how good the defense is and how, you know, interesting the new offense is. You're not going to get enough done. So for me, it's still the offensive line is the linchpin to this whole thing, that their success this year will be based on how well this new formed O-line actually performs.
Yeah, now I know we'll get a little deeper into this a little bit later in the show, but I myself, along with you as well, and, you know, everyone else at the station, definitely, and fans, I'm interested to see how not so much how Woody Marks will be used, that as well, but how much run he'll get early in the season, since there are questions with Joe Mixon. Obviously, he's not going to play, what, the first four games?
Yeah, at least.
At least the first four games. You got Damian Pierce, who's probably going to see a lot of time, but he's had injury questions in the past. I mean, I'm really interested to see how they're going to utilize Woody Marks, especially early on. You know, a lot of times rookies don't get, unless you're a first round, you know, a high draft pick, rookies, running backs don't get a lot of time if they're drafted in the middle of the draft, you know, early on, unless they just really, really break through early, you know, get that opportunity and break through. But so I'm just interested to see in kind of a little bit of a crowded backfield here.
Yeah.
There's some other guys in there, so.
He'll get his opportunities early, I would think, as you mentioned, without Mixon. Yeah. And they like him, and he's looked the part, you know, throughout the summer and the preseason so far. Yeah, Joe Mixon's a big question. That might be your answer of, like, what's going to derail this season. I don't know. Maybe you think if Mixon does potentially miss the entire year, you know, we had that weird audio last week from Casario when they were asking, like, do you expect Mixon to play at all or whatever it was, whatever the phrasing was. And he left the door open where it makes it seem like, oh, it seems like he might not play the whole year. So I don't know what to expect
from
Mixon.
That would be wild.
Yeah, it would be.
I mean, and especially because it's still a little bit of a mystery as to what's going on. Exactly. I mean, wasn't there a foot injury, something like that going on with him? But
this is the problem, too, with relying. I've been saying this all offseason, but relying on two running backs who are both about to turn 30 and have injury history. You know, this is part of the concern. And now Mixon. Yeah, Chubb's the other one. We'll see what he brings to the table.
And he's just coming back off of, you know, he's just coming back off, you know, some injuries, another ACL he had year before last, whatever it was. So, yeah.
Let's hear. I mentioned just a moment ago the Caserio audio from last week, and then, you know, it's been a long weekend. I couldn't remember the exact phrasing, so good job on Colin pulling it up.
So, wait, are you talking about the one where Caserio was on with Payne and Pendergast a few weeks ago or last week?
Oh, no, last week, and there was a press conference.
Okay, yeah, that's the wrong one. I'll try to find it.
All right.
We'll get it later.
I will say, though, this is kind of... I will say when Nick Caserio was on Payne and Pendergast, he said no change. So you kind of maybe had a semblance like, okay, something could be, you know, not right. Maybe he could be out for longer than we think. I mean, do y'all think that he's out for 4 weeks or do y'all think he's out longer?
I think it's longer. And there was this weird thing.
We were talking about it with Clint maybe 2 weeks ago at this point, but it was around like the second preseason game. There just became this firestorm on Twitter of these like Twitter doctors and everyone where I don't know where they got this additional information, but they're all saying, oh, no, Mixon, like this doesn't look good. He's probably going to miss the year. That like Jesse Morse guy and all these other dudes who work in the medical field and they're big football fans. And so they've built a following by tweeting about football injuries. Anyways, that's been a talking point for a couple weeks that this thing is worse than maybe it's being let on. But I think it's more than 4 weeks, unfortunately.
I mean, from what we're hearing, which is not a lot, it kind of sounds like that, that it's going to be more than 4 weeks. And it would just be shocking to me if it was the whole season. I'm not shocked by a lot, but damn. I mean, because that, like you said, that could be something to at least partially derail the season.
Yeah, it could. It could certainly play a role. Like, I know we skew negative a lot of times in the media just because it's more interesting than if we told all these great positive stories. And so I don't want to come off as being so negative, but it's something I've been saying all offseason that when you look at this team compared to where the Texans ended last year,
yeah,
like, do we feel better about the play caller now than we did then? Probably just because it's not Bobby Slowick, but I think Nick Caley still has the same questions that we had about this offense.
It's the unknown.
Yeah, last year. Do we feel better about the offensive line compared to last year? Again, probably just because they made change for the sake of change, but do we really know how good this offensive line is going to be? Do we feel better about the wide receivers now than we did at this time a year ago?
Ooh.
I would say no. I'd rather have a healthy, Stephon Diggs and then a healthy Tank Dell with Nico Collins as opposed to a couple of rookies that we haven't seen play in the NFL.
And Christian Kirk.
Yeah, and even Christian Kirk.
Injury. A
couple injuries.
Collarbone and something else. Yeah.
And now that we talk about the running back room, like, do we feel better now than last year when Mixon's not going to start the year and Nick Chubb is going to have to be thrown into a bigger role? I feel like there's a lot more questions or the same questions on offense now than there were last year when offense was the problem. So, we'll see. It all starts Sunday, week one. What will derail the Texans' season? Not to skew so negative to begin your Labor Day here on In the Loop, but you can let us know. What do you think would actually derail the Texans' season this year? Text the show throughout, 713-572-4610. You can also get to us on the YouTube and Twitch chats. Hey, when we come back, even after losing 2 of 3 to the Angels over the weekend, do you actually feel better about the Astros today than you did last week? Might sound crazy, but we'll talk about it next. It's In the Loop. The Loop here on Labor Day. The fellas are off. Luke Morrow alongside Chris Partee with you on this holiday. Appreciate you hanging with us. Colin Neal on the steel wheels. I was looking around after that intro. Oh, there it is. There's the smelling salts. They're still in here.
I was going to say, I don't think we'll be sniffing anything if in you here want today, it. But maybe we will.
Where, if you needed the whiff.
Can you pass them over here?
Have you guys ever used smelling salts before?
Heck no.
I mean, you don't want to have to use smelling salts.
No.
Do I dare open this?
If you want. If you need a little pick-me-up here on this Labor Day.
You feeling dangerous on this Labor Day?
Yeah. Not really. No.
A little sluggish? Because then that's when you might need it.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe by the time we get to like the final hour of the show, you know, and you need a little pick-me-up to finish strong. We'll see. But it's there for you if you need it.
It is here.
We started the show talking about what could derail the Texans' season, as it's now game week. Week one is Sunday. And on the text line, you can always text the show, 713-572-4610. 832 said a major injury to C.J. Stroud. Of course, that's a given, although the backups have looked pretty good. Another 832 said Mixon could derail the Texans this year if he misses the whole season. And then I like this conspiracy theory from Fern on the text line.
Uh-oh, here we go. Already conspiracy theories 30 minutes into the show.
Joe Mixon is upset about Nick Chubb taking carries away, so he's holding out, and they're using an injury as the reason why he's not with the team. What do you think of that conspiracy? You buy that conspiracy? I do not.
I'm not going to buy into that, but, you know, stranger things have happened. But I don't think that's going to be it, because I don't think Nick Chubb – well, I don't think the original plan was for Nick Chubb to come in and have a ton of carries. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think it was going to be the plan to eat that much into what Joe Mixon was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really, you know.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
Now, you never know what's going on behind the scenes, but I think there is some type of injury or something going on, maybe something personal in Joe Mixon's life that they may not be sharing with the media. We've seen that before in different sports. I do think there is something going on, though.
That's what someone else did say in the text line. Could it be more of an illness than an injury? D'Amico was very passionate and did mention family when talking about Joe Mixon.
Yeah,
it could be. I mean, I know Harrison Smith, the Pro Bowl safety for the Vikings, is dealing with something, has been away from the team. They're not calling an injury. They said it's not mental health, but it's I forget the phrasing they used.
I mean,
but yeah, it could always, you never really know exactly.
I mean, I think sometimes we forget that, you know, these players are real people like we are. They just make a lot more money than most of us. You know what I mean? But they still go through some of the same trials and tribulations. They deal with family issues and personal issues as well. Just because most of them are what we would call rich doesn't mean they don't deal with certain things.
No.
You know what I mean? I think we forget that sometimes.
Yeah, as they say, money doesn't buy happiness, which might be true, but it does buy solutions, and so it does help with a lot of problem solving, but absolutely, I mean,
it
still
it definitely helps.
Yeah, it sure does.
Especially in today's economy, money helps.
Yeah. Hey, we started the show with a little negative. You could still text or get to us on the online streams as well about what could derail the Texan season, but now I'm going to ask you a bit of a positive question, because I don't think it was a positive weekend overall for the Astros, dropping 2 of 3 against the Angels. They finish up that series today at 1:10 Central, so we'll still be on the air when that game gets underway.
Yep.
And we'll see what, you know, Luis Garcia has today, pitching for the first time in 28 months.
That's exciting.
It's very exciting.
That's positive.
We'll see if that leads to our question of the day, though, if it's you know, if it's a letdown.
Uh-oh.
We'll see how it goes for Garcia today.
I mean, do we dare still throw this out there then? Well, it's already out there. The question's already out there. But
yeah, Luis Garcia might be a letdown in his return. We'll see. But even though they lost 2 out of 3 to the Angels, could you actually come out of the weekend feeling better about this Astros team? I know the offense is non-existent right now. Do we expect that to last? Because I don't think so. But the pitching, what you saw from Javier and Eric Geddy over the weekend as they continue to work their way back, does that actually make you feel better about the Astros, even though they lost more games than they won? It's more about what you saw from those starting pitchers Friday and Saturday that, you know, you still can feel positive about this weekend.
I don't know about better. If it doesn't make you feel better, maybe it makes you feel good, all right to good,
mm-hmm.
because you did see... I guess we're going to stay on the theme of positivity there with the pitching, but they still haven't been hitting. You lose 2 out of 3. Another positive, though, still got a 2-game lead in the division over the Mariners, right? So that is positive. Got Luis Garcia tonight. Now, if Luis Garcia comes out and, you know, is able to get that W, or even if he doesn't actually get the win, the Astros are able to get the W and he looks good, then, yeah, you probably feel a lot better then. After tonight, so, or after this afternoon. So I think that's still kind of up in the air. But if you're talking about just, you know, from the weekend, maybe the pitching, the positive, you know, some of the pitching we saw, maybe that makes you feel good. I don't know about better, because you still did lose 2 out of 3.
It is wild that the Astros, if you zoom out, two things. Number one, they're 20-27 since they swept the Dodgers around July 4th.
Damn.
That's not good, and that's a big sample size. That's almost a third of a season.
Yeah.
20-27, seven games under 500. Not good. This has not been a good baseball team for about 2 months. But the other crazy part about that is, as you mentioned, they still lead the Mariners, and they've never given up first place. They have played 7 games under .500 for the last 2 months, and still the Mariners have not been able to take advantage.
Did they tie them at one point or get with like a half? I thought they tied them at one point, but maybe it was half a game.
Yeah, they might have tied.
Maybe
still, the Astros,
they maybe surpassed them.
No, I don't think they ever passed them.
Yeah.
And that's why I hate to be that guy, because every year is a different year, and I have nothing against the Mariners, but it's just hard to take them
seriously when they usually fall apart in September to begin with when they are in the race. Yeah. And then this year specifically for the Mariners I'm talking about, the Astros have left the door wide open for you. And even though they had that great winning streak there around, the trade deadline or the All-Star break, whatever it was, the Mariners won like 8 in a row. Still, the Astros have been a bad baseball team for 2 months. They just scored the second fewest runs in the league in the month of August, and you're still trailing them by multiple games.
By two games, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and like you said, the door is wide open.
Wide open.
There is, I mean, we got a whole month left. Today is September 1st. There's about a month left.
Yep.
Probably what,
25?
Yeah, so 25 games left.
Something like that.
For most teams. You've got time to make up two games, but are the Mariners going to do it? Probably not. because this is what we've seen for not just years, but decades.
Yeah.
From the Mariners. And as someone who grew up on the West Coast and watched a lot of Mariners, Ken Griffey is my guy.
Mm-hmm.
Watched a lot of Mariners growing up. I've seen it a lot of times. They collapse in either late August or September.
Yeah.
They'll be right there and they'll collapse.
It's like
never fails.
It's like a football game where a team has a terrible offense. And so even though they're only down like 7-0 or 10-0, it just feels like it's insurmountable.
Yeah.
It feels like it's a 20-point game. And it's the same thing here where it is crazy. You look at the standings, you're like, oh shoot, the Astros only have a 2-game lead. And that should be very stressful, but for some reason, I have not stressed about the division all summer. That as bad as the Astros have played and as much as the offense has disappeared and the amount of injuries they've had, I still really haven't taken the Mariners all that seriously as an AL West contender. I know they're only 2 games back. They've got the big dumper who's setting records, but just like, it's the Mariners. If they haven't done it yet, well, why do I think it's going to change here over the last 4 weeks of the season?
I mean, you know, even though Kyle Raleigh is still hitting home runs, he hasn't hit great since the All-Star break. Since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
He has not, as far as average-wise. Right.
It's down around 200.
Yeah. He hasn't been great. He's still hitting some home runs, but just in the overall, aspect of it, no, he hasn't been great.
He's a catcher who plays every day.
Yeah.
He's going to wear down at some point.
Eventually, it's got to catch up to you.
Right.
Eventually.
I do feel better about the Astros, though, today than I did on, let's say, Friday.
Yeah.
Because I do think this lineup is better than they've performed. And I know numbers don't always work great on the radio, but I'll throw some stats at you. They've been shut out 5 times over the last 2 weeks, which is just crazy.
Oh, man.
They've scored 2 runs or fewer in 11 of the last 18 games. They've averaged 2 runs at home per game for the last month. 2 runs at home per game.
That's the shocking part to me, at home.
Ridiculous,
That's what's shocking.
And they scored the second fewest runs in the league in August, only ahead of the Guardians, who have had a bad offense, too. This offense is bad. In fact, they're 1-20 in the last 21 games that they score fewer than 4 runs.
Yet, and still, they are in first place in the American League West.
Yeah, they are.
By 2 games.
I just think the lineup can't be this bad because now you have Yordan back. You add Correa. You're going to get Jake Myers back soon, you believe. He's rehabbing. And when you look on paper, it's a pretty good lineup. Christian Walker's now been hitting well for the last 2 months. I know Cam Smith has disappeared, but it's a pretty good, pretty deep lineup. I think the lineup's going to turn around. I've been saying all year that they need more starting pitching when it comes to winning in the playoffs. And if you get Javier and you get Arrigetti pitching like they did over this weekend, I'll go into the playoffs where pitching still, to me, I'm old school, pitching still wins World Series. So even though the lineup is struggling, you still got to go in there and pitch well. And if you have those guys contributing in the starting rotation, you have Hunter Brown and Fromber and Jason Alexander and Javier and Arrigetti, and you have that depth of pitchers, I feel pretty good.
But do you believe that if they continue to struggle this bad as what you've just laid out, even with the pitching, that they can carry all that over, struggling this bad at the plate, and win in October? Do you really believe that?
I think they could, yes, if they get really good pitching.
And I mean go deep. I don't just mean win the wild card, you know, win the first round, or I mean go deep, you know, at least AL championship.
I think so. I think pitching can carry you as long as you get enough offense.
Yeah.
And Correa's
clutch.
But
that's the thing. You got to get enough offense.
Back. Yeah, they're not scoring anything right now.
That's the thing. But I think we've seen this most of the season. You know, they had a long stretch earlier, like really earlier in the season, where they didn't do a lot of hitting. Then they turned it back on more recently, kind of in the summer, summer months, I guess, June, July, they kind of turned it back on. And now they've kind of slumped again.
They were 12th in OPS heading into August, right? So they had the 12th best offense for most of the season. This was just a terrible month. I think they can still improve offensively, right? That what we saw in August isn't the norm. It was just a really bad month.
I mean, they got the bats in there. They just got to start swinging them. and connecting.
Right, that's what I mean. It's a pretty good lineup.
They got the bats in there.
Text line says, not only is Seattle close, but South Oklahoma is coming fast. They're 4.5 games back. Yeah, and you have two series with the Rangers coming up in the next 2 weeks. So the Rangers have a pretty good opportunity.
Yeah.
We'll leave it on this, and we'll circle back to the Astros later on. They have the second toughest schedule the rest of the way of any AL playoff contender. Tougher than the Mariners, tougher than the Rangers, tougher than the other wildcard teams. So it's not easy. You get the Yankees the next couple of days here in Houston. You get the Rangers twice in the next 2 weeks. This is obviously, I mean, it's September, but this is a huge couple of weeks for the Astros holding on to that two-game lead. All right, hey, time for the question of the day. Arch Manning, his debut as starter for Texas, pretty underwhelming over the weekend. So we ask you, what's the most underwhelming debut in your life? What's something you were really excited for, but it ended up being a huge letdown? I'm not talking about for you, but just in your life. Could be movies, could be sports, could be entertainment, whatever it is. Let us know on the text line, 713-572-4610, and we'll get to those next. It's In the Loop. Those guys are out today, enjoying a nice break from all their hard labor. We're in Luke Morrow alongside Chris Partee, and the question of the day, what's the most underwhelming debut you've experienced in your life? What's something you were really excited for, but it ended up being a huge letdown? Let us know on the text line, 713-572-4610. We ask this because of Arch Manning and his very underwhelming debut as a starter on Saturday. We'll get more into the college football weekend later on. But let us know, most underwhelming debut, something you were really looking forward to in your life, maybe a movie, a show, something in sports. You sat down, experienced it, and thought, man, what a letdown.
Colin, what did you tell us earlier? When we posed the question, you said life.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's just life for you, somebody out
Sorry,
there.
I was just trying to figure out what the heck that
it's all
transition
right.
was.
That's
apologies,
all right.
folks. I didn't mean to poison your ears on this lovely Labor Day after a very humid weekend. But yeah, life. No, I'm just kidding. No.
Hey, that might be someone's answer. Just life.
That could be, but
it's not quite what they expected.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
What would you be your or one of? Or a few that come to mind that were, you know, you're really excited about.
Yeah.
They didn't match expectations.
I'm sure that I'm someone that doesn't try to I try not to get my expectations too high for anything, but there was a movie. Now, The Gobbledygooker was one for me back in the day. Sean already said that, but that was definitely something that was hyped up, and I was like, yeah. And then it just kind of underwhelmed. But
yeah, if you weren't with us for Crosstalk earlier, we talked about a few wrestling examples.
Yes.
That were our biggest disappointments, and Sean used that one.
And you mentioned The Shockmaster. That was another one. But do you remember the movie Gone Girl?
Yeah.
About a decade ago.
Yeah, I love that movie.
So me and my ex-wife, we went to see that movie, and we were excited about it, and we were both red at the point where she went through everything with him. This is Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
I forget the actress's name, but at the point where she went through everything with him, do you remember the point where she came back, where she just came back and showed up at the house?
Whoa, spoiler alert. I'm kidding.
That movie's 12 years old. Yeah. If you ain't seen it by now, I'm sorry.
I'm kidding. Yeah, but yes, I remember.
But you remember that.
Of course. Yeah.
I could be one of those people that have never seen it.
Well, Colin, I'm sorry, brother. You know.
Get with it.
Yeah, I need
it's been 12 years.
12 years. I mean, you were probably, 10 at the time, so. Am I right or wrong? Were you 11?
13.
Okay, I was close. Hey, he's a young man. There's nothing to be ashamed about in that. You got your whole life ahead of you, all right?
Yeah. All right, I'm going to make that. I'm putting that on my watch.
Put it on your list. But
for sure.
When she just showed back up like that, just after everything that had gone on and just walked back in the house like nothing had happened, I was just like, really? I was so disappointed.
Really? With the ending?
Because everything was so good up to that point for me.
Yeah.
We were both just like, we were out. We were out. Mm. We were just done.
I didn't hate it. I mean, it's funny because you're rooting for like a happier ending for Ben Affleck. And so that's where I was disappointed, but I liked it from like the artistic standpoint, if you will. Like I thought that was a good ending for the movie.
Yeah.
But also, it's interesting that you could, you know, Ben Affleck was not like a perfect guy either, but he was the character you found yourself rooting for in the movie, which is also, and then you feel bad for him at the end, even though it's like, well, he had his own issues too.
Yeah.
I would say similarly, I mean, we could go not only on wrestling events. I shared earlier, I was in the Hartford Civic Center, Ultimate Warrior, who I loved, was making his debut in WCW, and I thought, this is going to be awesome.
See,
and then he went off script and was just rambling for like 20 minutes. And I'm like, okay, this is terrible. Let's move on.
See, I've always felt like anyone like you that grew up in the Northeast is so lucky because Hartford, places like Hartford were a hub for WWF back in the day.
Yeah.
Because they're Stamford, Connecticut.
Yeah, right.
It was their, or still is their home base. So you got to see everything. Now, they came out to the West Coast, to the Bay Area, but you got so much more out there.
Yeah. That was great. I mean, that wasn't great, that event. So, you know, we could go on about wrestling this whole segment. We could also go on about movies.
Yeah.
And I see on the text line someone said the recent Fantastic Four was very disappointing. I think that would be a popular one. It's
I've
just
heard
to
that
say
for
movies.
Some people.
You know, movies get so hyped up. I'm worried about this new horror film, Weapons, which I can't wait to see.
I can't. Me, Tyler's been talking about that one.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be this incredible. It's supposed to be incredible. It's got a 100 on Rotten Tomatoes. Jordan Peele fired his staff because they didn't win the bidding war to get the script for that movie. It's supposed to be.
You're like, all fired.
Yeah, that's not a bad like Vince McMahon right there. It's supposed to be this incredible movie, but I feel like it's going to be so hyped up at this point that I'm going to be disappointed.
That it can't live up to it.
Right, exactly. And so like you said a moment ago, keeping your expectations low
is
the best way to go so that you're always more surprised and disappointed. But in the movie realm, and this might be a hot take. This might be an unpopular opinion. I don't know.
Here come hating ass Luke. Yeah, I heard that. I heard that. I heard that episode that day.
Good callback. I was really excited to see Sinners, and I saw it in theaters. I thought that movie was terrible.
Really?
Yeah, terrible.
Really?
Terrible.
Jesus.
I literally just watched
Most overrated movie probably I've ever seen.
I watched it 2 weeks ago. I thought it was good.
Really?
Yeah.
I love the first half of it.
Okay.
And then spoiler alert, I mean, whatever. once they introduce like the vampires, whatever it was. Oh my gosh. Terrible.
Yeah, I think they were vampires.
The second half of the movie, terrible. First half was really good. It had a really good setup. I was really enjoying it, and then I was like, oh, this is where we're going with this movie. Lame. Stupid.
Watch Barbarian.
I saw it in theaters, yeah.
What did you think? I just saw it recently.
I liked it.
I liked it.
I didn't love it. Didn't hate it, though.
Okay.
I thought it got pretty ridiculous, too, the longer that movie went on.
Really? Okay.
I didn't really like the twist, either. The same idea. First half was setting up nice and tense. Really liked it, and then, oh, this is what...
That happens sometimes, though.
Yeah.
That happens. Good. Like, they get you in that first half, and then that last 30 minutes is like...
It's what that was the Substance? Is that what it's called? With Demi Moore, or Demi Moore, however she says her name? Big movie with Dennis Quaid that came out in the last year. Same thing. Great movie, and then the last 20, 30 minutes, so absurd, it ruined the whole movie for me.
The ending of a movie really can't, you know, the last 15 minutes of a movie really can ruin the whole 90 minutes if it's not.
Absolutely.
100%. It can ruin it.
It can make it, too. It could be a lousy movie.
It can also make it,
that comes together in the last 15 minutes. On the text line, I love this one. I watch this on YouTube from time to time myself because it's so great. The disappointment that came with the opening of Al Capone's vault in 1986 by Geraldo Rivera. Oh, my. That was so hyped up.
Not Geraldo.
And there was nothing in there. The vault was empty.
Not Geraldo.
They should have checked first before doing it live on TV.
Yeah, why not look in there, do a little prep?
Yeah.
Why not?
To see if there is actually something.
And if there's not.
And they open it up and it's just empty. You're right. What a letdown that is.
Stage it. If there's nothing there, just stage it.
Absolutely.
The money's been put up for this thing already, I'm sure. Just stage it. Who's going to know?
Right.
It's Hollywood.
Go find it on YouTube if you're not familiar. It's a great clip because they were just so disappointed and let down. Text line says the Brock Osweiler and David Johnson are the biggest letdowns.
Brock Osweiler.
Most underwhelming.
Yeah, that was...
David Johnson, of course. I mean, you get rid of DeAndre Hopkins, you bring in David Johnson, who had a good career previously, but didn't have enough left in the tank.
And nothing left.
Staying with the Texans, somebody said it's got to be Christmas last year at the game against the Ravens. Ooh. That's a good one. You get excited. You get to watch your team on Christmas. It's a big game against the Ravens.
Was it 31?
They just got curb stomped.
31 something?
We were on the air.
We were on the air. The next day.
I think
right.
It was the
next
day.
Not that day.
Chris.
The next
day. Talk about how it was the worst Christmas ever.
I thought we were on that day.
No.
No?
Chris. No, Chris. Chris was in with PC and me.
Okay. All right.
Okay, that's
but
right.
You
yeah,
and
yeah.
I were then together.
Yeah, we were then the next day. Okay.
The next day.
Yeah. You know, the days run together.
Oh, absolutely. They do. And then I love this one on the text line. You could keep sending them in. Somebody said, let me find the exact verbiage. When my mom debuted her meatloaf in my life as a kid, extremely underwhelming, yet she still chooses to make it.
Oh, my. Hey, man, leave mom alone.
That's great.
I hope mom does not listen. Obviously, they're not going to know who that is, but I hope mom doesn't listen to the show.
I'll give you the phone number if you want. Then you know who it is.
Don't do that.
Doxing. Hello.
I That is a good one, though, when, like, you tell your significant other or you tell your mom about this great meal you had at a restaurant or you had it at someone else's house and, like, oh, it's so good. And they said, oh, let me try to make that for you.
Don't do it.
It doesn't live up to expectations a lot of times, especially if it's from a restaurant, because all due respect to moms, that's a professional chef in the restaurant. And then your mother or your wife, girlfriend, whoever, husband, tries to duplicate it. And it's like, it's good, but it's not quite as good as when I had it the first time. And then you also build up the expectations. You romanticize it. That's always a tough spot.
This is why I limit my expectations. If it turns out great, great.
It's true.
If not, then I'm good. Either way.
The Houston Astros medical team, somebody said. That's a good one.
Very underwhelming.
And 713 said, I was so excited to go to my first All-Star game as a kid. I was a huge Astros fan. And then Roger Clemens gave up 6 runs in the first inning.
Well, I mean, you know.
That's the problem with baseball,
these
too.
These things happen.
Is that baseball could get out of hand real quick. Football, it takes at least like a quarter for your team to get blown out. Baseball could be before the team even comes to bat. Top of the first, you give up 8 runs. It's like, okay, well, this was a
waste. This game's over.
Yeah, let's go home.
Yeah. There's not much hope after that.
Keep sending those answers in for a question of the day. What was the most underwhelming debut in your life? What's something you were really excited for, but it ended up just being a huge letdown? Let us know. We'll get to continue to get to the good ones. 713-572-4610. Hey, when we come back, it's time to go around the NFL. We'll do it next on In the Loop.